Thank you. We're going to call taxes to order. I think the microphones are on now. We don't have a quorum yet, Representative Morgan, but we will move your bill as soon as we do. Welcome to the committee, and we're going to talk about House File 666. Representative Morgan, please.
Oh, boy. Yes, we are. Madam Chair, every year somebody gets this one, and I got it this year. Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My bill is about tax-exempt bond carry-forwards. So to really explain it, I have Mary Tinkerthal here to give the impact and why this is important to Minnesota and Minnesotans. So I will turn it over to my testifier very quickly.
Thank you.
That's all right, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Mary Tinkerthal. I'm commissioner at the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. And this is a rather technical bill, and I will try to explain it fairly simply. Every year, the federal government, by formula, allocates a certain volume of tax-exempt bonding authority to every state, including the state of Minnesota. And for reasons that will remain forever unknown, the formula is that it takes the population from the previous year and multiplies it by a per capita dollar amount, and that results in an overall capital amount. Minnesota Statutes 474A.03 sets forth an allocation formula that takes that major dollar amount. And to give you an idea, in 2011, that dollar amount was roughly $500 million, and sets forth the manner by which it will be allocated. There are four entities that receive entitlement allocations, and those include the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, the City of Minneapolis, the City of St. Paul, and Dakota County. The rest of the allocation goes into three pools. One is a housing pool, one is for public facilities, and the third is called the small issue pool. Under federal law, if those entities that receive these allocations do not utilize their allocated amount by December of each year, they are allowed under federal law to carry it forward for 3 years and use it any time during that three-year period. However, under state law, for a variety of historical reasons, we have set up a one-year carry-forward rule. That worked reasonably well in a time when tax-exempt bonds were always fully utilized every year, but for the last several years, because of the fact that tax-exempt interest rates have been high relative to regular interest rates, there have been a number of authorities, including ours, that have not utilized their full bonding authority, but we fully expect to use it in the future. So the penalties, meaning the turnback of this unused bonding authority under state law, has become kind of counterproductive, I would say. And so all of the parties that receive allocations under this have gotten together and have agreed on the drafted language in the proposed bill, which would essentially match the state authority to be carried over for 3 years so that it matches the authority under the federal law. So a fairly, it will greatly simplify the state procedure, and all parties that are subject to this part of the statute are in agreement on the language that's proposed.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate that. Is there anybody who would like to testify for or against this bill? Questions? If not, we would love to lay this over, but we don't even have a quorum yet to move it. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Mr. if you're expecting that the bond rates are going to come down, it flies in the face of something that I don't understand. Bond rates for the other type of bond that you suggest are very low. These are very high. And you expect those are going to go low, or are they going to go higher when the rest of the bond rates raise?
Commissioner.
Representative Earhart, it's my belief that right now we are in a monetary policy with the Federal Reserve nationally that is keeping regular interest rates at very low rates.
You're correct.
And that at some time in the future that will likely begin to change. And it is my expectation that once that monetary policy is shifted, that while non-tax-exempt rates will begin to rise, that tax-exempt rates will stay kind of where they are. So the traditional relationship will reestablish itself.
Representative Earhart.
But what you're suggesting, I think I'm hearing, is that you expect something to happen to your bonds now, and you don't want to let them in today's market, but you're not expecting any change, I think is what you're telling me, when the regular bond rates, and not yours, start to rise.
Commissioner.
If I understand what you're saying, you're not going to, yours are not going to change, but the other bonds are going to rise, and I think that'd be the case. But I don't understand why you think yours will stay the same. And if they are going to, then why aren't you using them today?
Commissioner.
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, you are correctly stating the premise that I've put forth. And the reason that they're not being utilized today is that in the marketplace, particularly for multifamily housing, there are other alternatives in the marketplace that are better priced.
Now.
Okay.
Now you stated it. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? If not, we do have a quorum, so if Representative Lilly is willing to move House File 666 for possible inclusion, Representative Lilly makes that motion. We're going to lay.
Madam Chair.
Representative Davis.
Madam Chair, House File 666 seems so non-controversial. I think it's got tremendous support here. It could probably just go on its own.
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
For the members who missed it, Representative Morgan, when he first came in, said he didn't want to stand up on the floor carrying House File 666. I think the number of the bill. So thank you for that, Representative Davis. Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Representative Lanchesky. Did this, Representative Morgan, did this bill go to other committees as well? Which committees does this been to?
Representative Morgan.
Madam Chair, Representative Pepin. Yes, it started in the Housing Finance Committee and then came here.
Yes, Representative Pepin.
Representative Lanchesky, I was just wondering if there might need to go to any other committees since you're laying it over. There's some language on higher ed and some other things. And
now, this is local bonding. And
State Gov.
And so often members will look at a bonding provision and think it goes to capital investment. But the tax committee carries local bonding, which is the public finance article of the tax bill. So that's what this really is asking for changes to local debt for local entities. Is there anything else? Okay, with that, we're going to lay over House File 666 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill and call up. Thank you, Representative Morgan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members.
Thank you. And we're going to call up Representative Newton and members. If it's okay, I was really hoping we could adjourn by one-ish. I've had a lot of members tell me that they're having a really difficult time getting to all their committees because I know a lot of the policy committees are hearing 20 bills. And because we are not on a deadline like all these other committees, we're just hoping we can hear this one, lay this over, and adjourn so that folks can get to these other hearings that they've got lined up tonight. And Representative Davids told me that, which I did not know, that House File 5 is trying to finish today as well. So Representative Newton, I don't know, maybe you have a lot of testifiers, but if not, we're hoping to kind of hear your bill and adjourn a little bit early today. So Representative Benson moves House File 1249 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Nice
Thank
to see you,
Madam
Representative
Chair,
Newton.
Thank you, members. I have no testifiers. This is an idea that I had. I used to own a couple of small grocery stores, and working with the taxes on candy and other items, especially Twinkies, Ho-Hos, that sort of thing, you know, those things aren't taxed. I found out that Twinkies aren't taxed basically because they have nothing, not only nutritious in them, but it's all chemicals. When you get to candy items, any candy that has flour in it, such as Kit Kats or Twix, those aren't taxed, but the other chocolate candy bars are. Mm-hmm. And to try to explain that when you've got a small store, a small grocery store, or a neighborhood gas station where you've got candy items and snacks in there is a little bit difficult for your employees to understand if you don't have the sophisticated cash registers that take care of it. So I looking at this as a snack food item, I spoke with Ms. Dalton, and we worked out a bill that I think will tax items that will bring in roughly $6.5 million the first year and $7.5 million the second year. But it's taxing snack food items, and we are attempting to avoid violating the streamlined sales tax project so that we don't lose state money in this. And I think working with Ms. Dalton, we've done that by being very specific about the items that we are taxing. And I know there are people who will speak in opposition to this, and I just want to bring this forward for you to look at it. And if, you know, if in fact we are violating something, then it probably won't be laid over. So with that, Madam Chair, I'd certainly invite any of the people who want to testify against it.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Newton. I'm just going to ask Ms. Dalton. Ms. Dalton, did you want to add anything to that? This committee is aware that Minnesota has been trying to stay in compliance with SSTA for a long time, or SSTUP, or I don't know. They keep changing the acronyms. Yeah. But Ms. Dalton, if you could, do you want to comment on whatever?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, and Representative Newton, I'm afraid there actually wasn't a way to construct this in a way that does not violate streamlined sales tax law. As it as the agreement currently stands, there isn't a definition of snack food, so it's not something that's an allowed carve-out.
Okay. Okay, so, and we have testifiers, and then we have Representative Davids, Anzels, and Garofalo. But did someone want to testify for or against first? Okay. Assistant Commissioner Von Mosch.
Susan Von Mosch at the Department of Revenue. Good afternoon, and I just wanted to make a brief comment about our concern with this bill, in that it does not conform with the streamlined sales tax, and that's because of the streamlined sales tax involves a lot of definitions, and so there are definitions for food and food ingredients which Minnesota exempts. We don't have a sales tax on food or food ingredients, but there are some carve-outs currently in streamlined sales tax that Minnesota does tax. So soft drinks, bottled water, candy, prepared foods. And snack foods is not on the list of items that that would be able to be treated differently than food and food ingredients. I am noticing, looking at some of the other items that are listed in the bill, though, is I think it's our interpretation that some of the items, depending on how they're sold, like the licorice and the cookies, if they contain flour, they might already be exempt depending on if they're sold as a prepared food or some other item, similar to the Twix bar, which contains flour. And we do also had a comment on the 8-ounce package, in that if the 8-ounce packages are sold within a vending machine, they would be taxable if they're sold as part of a vending machine item. So those are the Department of Revenue's concerns.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much. Are there other testifiers? Because we have a lot of members who want to ask questions here. So,
Madam Chair, I will try to keep it brief.
Yes, please.
Thank you. My name is Jamie Poole, and I'm president of the Minnesota Grocers Association.
Oh, okay, great.
We're the state trade association for 115 years representing the grocers. We have over 200 retail members, 1,100 stores statewide. We have 125,000 union and non-union employees. We obviously recognize the challenges this committee makes, and we know that you are vetting out all possible revenue options this session. As you heard, Minnesota is one of 24 streamlined sales tax conforming states. This is a cooperative effort that serves as a value by simplifying sales and use tax collection. It provides a level playing field by offering consistent rules and interpretations for all participating states. Among them is North Dakota, South Dakota, Iowa, and Wisconsin. The process that the Streamlined Sales Tax Governing Board uses to create their definitions and build their rationale is one of great collaboration. All stakeholders are invited to comment and be a part of the dialogue, which we firmly believe supplies the best foundation possible for a very challenging task. We're active in all of these conversations, and I will tell you it is frustrating at times. It can take a long time. For example, as Representative Newton spoke of, the definition of candy. It's defined as a preparation of sugar, honey, other natural and artificial sweeteners in combination with chocolate, fruits, nuts, or other ingredients or flavorings in the forms of drops, bars, pieces. Candy shall not include any preparation containing flour and shall require no refrigeration.
Madam Chair, if I may,
yes,
can you imagine as a small store owner explaining that to your employees? You know, this is tax, this isn't, this is why.
Well, and I will say, in interpretation, this means that the licorice is not taxable as a candy if it contains flour, but chocolate chips are taxable as candy because they are chocolate in the form of drops. And I will agree, it does seem confusing, but it actually provides a clear definition through this clear framework, through the definition that we can implement and stay in compliance with. I know from our store's experience, it does help the Department of Revenue as well with their audits and enforcement. We see about 20,000 new products introduced every year, and we have the opportunity to choose from about 300,000 different products to stock our shelves. We typically operate on a profit margin of about 1%, so the ability to assess the products through a clear-cut definition and determine their taxability is key. It minimizes our administration costs, accurately taxing Minnesotans and keeping our prices competitive. We have several concerns. First, we understand that this may, or as we heard, will take us out of streamlined sales tax conformity. It presents enormous challenges in execution, as there is really not a clear-cut definition of a snack, and it is a selective, undefined approach to taxation that will bring greater confusion. For example, a typical bag of popped popcorn, kettle corn, which is so popular right now, is about 7 ounces, so that would actually be taxed, where a bag of pretzels that you take home is 10 ounces. It's a smaller bag, and that would not be taxed. The language is arbitrary, and it does not create any consistency for us to execute, audit, and most of all, articulate at checkout. Unfortunately, we fear it does the exact opposite as the representative's intent. It wasn't a collaborative stakeholder process. We don't believe it's been vetted through the streamlined sales tax system, and it sets a concerning standard. So we are happy to stand for questions, and thank you very much for allowing us to speak.
Thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it. Are there further testifiers, please? Yes.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bruce Newstead. I represent the Minnesota Retailers Association. We're a collection of about 1,500 retail locations across the state of various sizes and industry, including Main Street retailers and convenience retailers. The retail industry represents about 1 in 5 Minnesota jobs. That's roughly 482,000 jobs, so as you can tell, it's important to our economy. We stand opposed to House File 1249 with respect to the author. Many of the issues we have with the bill were just articulated by the Grocers Association, but I do want to add that there are some things about the bill that bother us relative to convenience item being taxed just because it is convenient, when a larger size portion would not be taxed at the same rate. In addition, we certainly have some issues with neighboring states. As we know, we're in a very hyper-competitive environment, and when you look at retailers on the border of some of our states, as was talked about, no one else really has the snack tax, so it puts us at a little bit of a disadvantage there as well. And today, we certainly don't want to be limiting any consumer spending. Now's a great time for consumers to be investing in rebuilding our economy, and we hate to see things like this that might do the opposite. In addition, a snack tax would be definitely a regressive tax in your vernacular, and arguably, as you've heard, there's some great issues or not so great issues with the streamlined sales tax initiative and its impact specific to this. With that, I want to, if you don't mind, introduce one of our board members from the Retailer Association. His name is Stephen Rush. Stephen is Director of Government Relations and Legal Counsel for Holiday Companies, to talk a little bit more about the retail operations end of the implication of this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Newstead. Mr. Rush, welcome.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Steve Rush. I'm Director of Government Relations for Holiday Companies, the Minnesota-based privately held company of convenience stores in Minnesota. We've been doing business in the state for over 85 years, and we have approximately 300 corporate and franchise units throughout the state of Minnesota providing grocery items to thousands of Minnesotans every day. Holiday does have very serious concerns about this proposal, and I'll try to be brief and articulate three. Our first concern is about our customer. We have many stores that accept food stamps, and many of our customers are of very limited means. Take, for example, in St. Paul, we have many customers, elderly, those with physical disabilities, that, and those who don't have transportation options, that oftentimes really have no place else to go than to one of my stores or one of my fine competitors. And if we increase the price of an item that they're buying from me, that further stretches folks with very limited means. So I'm concerned about those customers. And in outstate Minnesota, sometimes the convenience store is your only option, particularly if a local food store is closed and you have to stop at one of my units. Again, increasing the price of a product for those customers of mine is a concern. Secondly, I am somewhat confused by the definition of snack food, and frankly, I couldn't advise my client what to put a tax on. For example, pork rinds are listed, but no other meat-like items, so I don't know if that would include beef jerky or, you know, Oscar Mayer Lunchables. I wouldn't know whether to tell my client to tax those. Also, cheese puffs and curls are listed, but apparently Cheez-Its, a cracker with cheese on it, wouldn't be taxable if it came in a package under 8 ounces. So this isn't something I could really work with my client. And it is a very difficult process to reconfigure your point-of-sale system to put a code to tax an item. So it would take a lot of man-hours at Holiday and at other companies to be in compliance with this. And finally, of course, we're concerned about our own bottom line and operating our own businesses. Anytime you make a product more expensive, people buy less of it. And in this economy, we're doing our best to obviously be competitive and be viable, and particularly in border areas where North Dakota in Fargo is not collecting this type of tax, but Moorhead is, or in Duluth we are, but Superior isn't for the Twin Cities relative to western Wisconsin. Those were all the remarks I had. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my testimony. And if you had any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Rush. We are going to have questions. We've got a list, but we're going to get through everybody's testimony first, and we can call you back up if we have a question directed to you. Further testimony? For or against? Anybody? Nope. Okay. Well, then
Madam
we can
Chair,
start
I
with.
Have an amendment.
Yes. Would Representative Markert, will you move the A whatever amendment?
A1.
The A1?
I will move the A1 amendment.
Okay, so we're going to, this is to get the bill in the order you would like it, Representative Newton? Okay, so discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. Motion carries. The amendment's adopted. Okay, first on the list, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And two questions here, one for Ms. Dalton first here. So, Ms. Dalton, we know that this takes us out of compliance with the streamlined sales tax. Do you have any estimate as to how much the state could lose if we pass this?
Ms. Dalton?
Mr. Chair, Representative Davids, the last I heard was that the state was collecting about $20 million, and I'm looking to...
33?
Voluntarily under the streamlined sales and use tax agreement.
The hand signals were 33 under the biennium. Was that how, did I read that correctly? 33 over the biennium.
Okay, so Madam Chair, so basically we'd be bringing in $6.5 million to lose $33 million. I was born on a day, but it wasn't yesterday, and that just doesn't seem like a very good deal. The other issue here is, you know, you can talk about potato chips and corn chips. Well, first of all, representing a district that borders Iowa and Wisconsin, this is extremely problematic. La Crescent, and you know, it makes everything 6 points higher than, or 6 or 7 points higher than it is across the river in La Crosse, Wisconsin. So that's. But you know, I take this one real personal because I was trying to add up the cost of what this would cost me, and it was one thing to go with potato chips and sticks, corn chips, pretzels, cheese puffs. But I will never vote to have my pork rinds taxed. So it's just, that's unacceptable, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Davids.
I call this lunch. You know?
Yeah. Representative Ansel.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I would echo most of what Representative Davids had to say. But additionally, this feels like we're... wandering into the world of Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, and I don't think that that's a good thing. And as far as simplicity of collection is concerned, basically I would prefer that everything would be taxed or none of it would be taxed. And if I had my choice, I would choose zero. Having said that, I don't think that this is ready for serious discussion. And I would respectfully just ask you to let this go away.
Representative Newton.
Madam Chair, one of the questions that came up during this is, you know, who do we have representing us on this streamlined sales tax? I heard that it was Representative Davis at one time, or that you had participated in this. But I think that's the larger question, because we're not the only state that's doing this. This comes up in state after state on item after item. And I think it's important that we try to address the issue on what can be taxed and what can't be taxed, especially on the food items. Because the original intent, and it is something that cities have been working with for almost 20 years, is unfair competitiveness. So that if you're in a state that is getting a sales tax on an item and another state doesn't have it and they're shipping it to your state by through internet sales, that was the original intent of this whole piece of legislation, and it's not quite working that way. These things are delivered, the products are delivered in-state by in-state wholesalers. So with that, Madam Chair, if you know, I would very much like that we do something on the streamlined sales tax, but I can see how things are going, and I'm willing.
Well, we're not going to vote on your bill, Representative Norton. We're just going to lay it over when we're done. So we'll
we
just.
Beat it up a little more, though. Yeah.
So, Representative Garofalo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Madam Chair, just to be clear, my response to this bill is going to be directly proportional to the likelihood you're going to include it in your omnibus bill. Is there any chance in HE double hockey sticks you're going to include this in the omnibus bill?
I'm an open-minded person. I'm not going to comment.
Just say no. It's going to make my comments a lot shorter.
We've been trying to hear everybody's bill who's asking for them on either side of the aisle on any idea. So we've really tried not to limit. And if you have not had a bill heard yet that you thought you should have, means you don't have a hearing request in, because we've heard pretty much all that of that asked. So, Representative Roth.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. I mean, at the end of the day, I come from a blue-collar Democrat family, and I'm proud of my white trash roots and the way I was raised. And the reality is, I'm just channeling my dad and the rest of my family members. No, we are. I'm saying it in a positive way. It's a self-disparaging term we refer to ourselves. I'm not calling all Democrats white trash. Did you take that out of context?
No.
Yeah, well,
you were insulting your family.
Oh, no, I am proud of the fact that I grew up on NASCAR. I'm proud of the fact that I grew up on NASCAR tracks on weekends and wasn't in a golf course until I was 17. I'm proud of those facts. But just channeling my family and the people I represent, will you Democrats just please leave us alone? Just go away. Okay, in the last couple weeks, we've seen increased taxes on haircuts, hairstylists, alcohol, cigarettes, anything fun, anything remotely interesting to the middle class. And the broadest definition in terms, we found out that everybody in the state of Minnesota, congratulations, is now rich. On behalf of the state of Minnesota, leave us alone. Go away. We don't want your help. End this session now. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Garofalo. Representative Zellers.
So if I follow form, Representative Van Zelks and Garofalo, Representative Newton, I'm sorry, you got to go away. I'm actually going to stick up for my family and a lot of Minnesota families that are farmers. A nut or an edible seed may be considered a snack, but it's healthy. You know, I'm on Representative Lilly's bill for helping, you know, folks get healthcare memberships. I flew in the face of my party and mandated FIED for grade school kids because I think we should actually have kids do activity in school. But you know, now you're going to go after agriculture too. I mean, the middle class is one thing, but to put a higher tax on things that our farmers produce and send all over the world, whether it's, you know, soybeans, whether it's some of the edible sunflower seeds, whatever it may be. I mean, I won't get quite as worked up as Representative Garofalo because I don't think this is going anywhere either. But on behalf of the ag community and a lot of really good Minnesota producers, this is a bad idea. It's a bad tax. It's, you know, go on the other side. Be proactive. Have a glass full. Encourage people to have activity, to do things to improve themselves. Don't tax them. Try to tax them out of obesity because this isn't going to work and it's a bad idea.
Madam Chair,
okay, Representative Newton, please.
Representative Sellers, actually, that was the nuts were deleted from the in the amendment.
Okay, thank you for that.
Good start, Madam Chair, but I think you could have started on page one and went to page two. But
thank you. We have Representative Anderson and then Drazkowski, and then we're going to adjourn. Unless there's someone else, Representative Barrett, you're going to. Okay, I know a lot of people want to get to their other committees, so Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Newton. I do hope that you take the advice here to heart today. My concern is that we have some great companies here in Minnesota that produce many of these products. We've got Barrel of Fun up in the kind of the Detroit Lakes area. They produce potato chips, corn chips, you know, pretzels, the cheese puffs. Did you know? I just found this out today. They produce the cheese puffs that are sold in all Targets across the nation, right here in Minnesota. What a great company, and the fact that they're able to do that. And I'd hate to see us make their job more difficult. And they supply a lot of jobs up in greater Minnesota for folks taking in, as Representative Zellers pointed out, the products that our farmers produce. And so it's a great economic engine for us. The other company, too, that I want to throw out that would be impacted by this is Schwann's Ice Cream that we have in southwestern Minnesota. Again, another great job provider that we have in this state. And I would hate to add this burden that is truly not necessary and would encourage you to shelve this permanently. So thanks so much, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Newton, I was just curious what your objective with this bill is. Is it to raise taxes for an ever-growing, expansive government, or is it to be a nanny state to tell people how they have to live their lives?
Or you can have a third option, too.
I'll go for option C, which is this is in the same general category of items that are already taxed, and it's to, you know, to simplify the tax system somewhat. You know, when you have foods that are completely not nutritious, like Twinkies and that sort of thing, why should they not be taxed when you're taxing a Pearson Nut Goody Bar that's made in St. Paul? You know, find the logic in that. And so what I'm thinking is it should be a general category of foods that is taxed equally.
Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if I got the answer out of that, and I think the answer is both. Thank you.
So we've now got Representative Barrett, Benson, Liebling, Loeffler, Milleen. I really regret that I said we would adjourn early. I'm sorry about that. I guess we are not going to do that. Representative Barrett.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be very short. You know, it's really not the pork rinds. It's not the nuts. It's really the Kit Kats and the peanut butter cups for me. I think you went over the line there when you start taxing that kind of thing. But seriously, and appropriately, I was actually in Iowa 13 hours ago. I dropped my daughter off right across the border so my other daughter could pick her up and bring her to college and have fun times and hopefully not too much fun over the next couple of days. So I had a choice to make when I was down there at midnight last night, coming home by myself. I could have gotten gas in Iowa or in Minnesota, and at the same time, I did buy a Kit Kat. I have a full disclosure, I bought a Kit Kat and a peanut butter cup. So, but the tax, I'm looking at gas tax in Iowa, it's 21 cents, and in Minnesota it's 28, North Dakota it's 23. So we already are at a competitive disadvantage there, and I know a lot of these things that get bought are by people who cross states, a lot of over-the-road truckers, and they know what the taxes are in each state, and they're going to go to the place where they can buy their product, gas or convenience items or whatever, less costly. So this is just going to add to the negative situation we currently have with our gas tax and other things. That's all it'll do. It'll make, now I bought my gas in Minnesota because I want to support Minnesota, But certainly a lot of people don't have that same affinity for our state that we do here. So I'm just afraid that this tax will further erode our competitive advantage, or I guess add to our competitive disadvantage as it relates to North Dakota and Iowa. So that's all I had to say.
Thank you. Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I wasn't going to speak either, but poor Representative Newton is being picked on by a lot of people here, and I just want to come to his defense. My wife is a dietitian. I've been talking to her about a lot of the, you know, tax bill has been proposed, and she said, "You're going to tax that? Why don't you tax pop? Why don't you tax something else?" I'm dealing with obese people every day, and you people are raising more and more money to, you know, to cover our health care costs for people who shouldn't be eating all that stuff. So I don't know if, you know, putting a tax on it would get people to stop eating it. But I had to make this statement so that I can go back and tell my wife that I stood up for taxing something. Madam Chair, you know, I'm just wondering whether this bill wouldn't go better into the Health Policy Committee. Because if we had a serious moment, we could look at the effects of all these products and what it's doing to the health of our children and the society. It doesn't mean you go ban them and tax them, but it is a social problem. So there you are, Representative Newton. Don't say I never supported you on anything.
Thank you, Representative Liebling.
Thanks, Madam Chair. And I also wanted to just commend Representative Newton for bringing this forward. As you see, it's not a really easy thing to do. You get shot at quite a bit here when you try to do something like this, but actually, Representative Benson, I think, has it right. You know, we do need to think about this. There's some members sure seem angry at the idea of taxing something, and I gotta say, I don't look at taxing something as going after somebody. You know, we tax a lot of, you know, we tax people's income. We're not going after them, you know. We have to support government. We have to support the things government does. That's not going after anybody. And so I think there is something to be said here. I think it's difficult the way the bill is put forward, and that we'd have to think carefully about what we are incentivizing. A lot of the comments that have been brought up here I agree with. It isn't really an easy thing to do in this form, but to bring it here and have us think about it, I think is absolutely wonderful and appropriate, and nobody should be angry that different ideas are brought up this year, and everybody knows how the system works here. Different members have different bills. That's how you bring your ideas forward. Doesn't mean we're going to do all of them. As everybody on this committee knows that brought a bill here, everybody probably wishes we would sometimes, but we don't. And the other thing is this whole thing about, you know, people get this nanny state idea, you know, that somehow that there's something wrong with trying to shape behavior through tax policy. Well, we do that a lot, members, a whole lot. And when we talk about something that members bipartisanly like a lot, say angel tax credits, we're trying to shape behavior by giving people a tax credit. We shape behavior all the time through tax policy. So I don't know that this is ready for prime time, Representative Newton, but I think that there is absolutely nothing wrong with thinking about this, nothing wrong with discussing whether it's appropriate or how we could try to shape behavior through tax policy in this realm. We're trying to do it with cigarette taxes. We do it with cigarette taxes already, to great effect, I might add, in terms of health, getting teenagers to not smoke, not begin smoking. So we know that making something more expensive works to decrease that, and whether we want to do that with these particular products. Actually, I looked at this too, Representative Zellers, before you spoke, and I said, oops, nuts, nah, that's health food, I think. Yeah. So, you know, I think we could have legitimate discussion about any of these items and how we'd define them and whether they're healthy or not healthy. But I just wanted to say that I think it's a very good thing to bring a bill like this so that we can discuss it, and I commend you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Moline. And Sheldon Pepin, Representative Moline.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. In the interest of time, I will withdraw my question. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. Representative Sheldon.
Madam Chair, all I wanted to say as a lone cop in the room, I support the donut tax.
Oh, thank you, Representative Pepin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And
Representative Liebling, I commend you for bringing this forward. I don't know why Representative Garofalo and some on my side were so angry, because I think the beauty of what this bill does is it highlights the difference in priorities between Democrats and the Republicans. There's big problems going on with the economy. People are trying to get back on their feet. The middle class is suffering. But I've so far this year, we've seen bills to tax wine, beer, popcorn, corn chips, nuts, seeds, licorice, cookies, cakes, ice cream, business to services, legal services, business to business services. So I think that this brings a great opportunity to highlight the difference between what your priority is and your party's priority is and what our priorities are. So thank you very much for bringing this forward.
Representative Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just think I have to speak up about how, you know, I've heard bipartisanly concern about the growth in the health and the human services budget. And health care is, there's overwhelming evidence that we've seen that health care is, costs are definitely directed to obesity. This is one approach to dealing with it. It may not be most direct or most effective, but I hope those of you who are having some fun with this, when we get to serious bills, will support the efforts that we're trying to do. In this, like Representative Zellers mentioned, you know, getting FIED back into schools. I mean, I'm just kind of surprised that we have school districts that have eliminated recess. My God. I mean, I think most kids would be more upset about eliminating recess than eliminating the snack foods on this list. But we do have to step up to try and deal with what's a growing health care cost. When we have kids as young as 10 and 12 developing forms of diabetes that we never saw in people over until they were at least age 40 in previous generations, you know, it's a serious issue that we're going to try and address. I'm not sure if this is the right way to go up, but I think we really ought to honor everybody who's working to try and deal with that, because a kid having to learn how to administer and manage adult onset diabetes while they're a teenager is not an easy thing, and we ought to do what we can to prevent that. And I appreciate the intent of this.
Thank you. Representative Loeffler, are you willing to move the minutes as well?
Madam Chair, I would be delighted to move the minutes.
Pausing for a second. Discussion of the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay. The minutes are adopted. No one else is on the list. Closing comments, Representative Newton.
Madam Chair, it's really nice to walk a day in Representative Paymire's shoes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. We're going to lay this bill over for possible inclusion in the Office Tax Bill. Members, we're adjourned.